Welcome to a reading of Lesson 2 Prayer in virtualbibleacademy.org's Disciple Making 1, Abiding in His Word. It's from the study book, pages 23 through 30. I'm John Morrison. As much as possible, I'll simply be reading the content of this lesson. Follow along in the study book if you'd like to, or just listen. Either way is fine. And please note, there are more Bible references found in the printed lesson. So here we go. Page 23. Lesson 2, Prayer. And it came about that while he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Luke 11:1. A pattern for prayer is clear in the teaching and examples of the Bible. That pattern includes praise, thanksgiving, confession, and requests. All four of these do not have to be in every prayer, but they should be included in our prayer lives. Praise. That's because of who God is. Praising God exalts, honors, and glorifies God. It is a very important part of what our prayers should be. We are taught to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, Hebrews 13:15. Helpful biblical examples of praising God are in Psalms 144 through 150, and many examples of praise can be found throughout the Psalms and in other books of the Bible. Thanksgiving. That's because of what God has done. God gives much to us to be thankful for in our lives, based on our requests, and often just because He loves us. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, Psalm 92:1. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, Colossians 4:2. In everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And lack of thankfulness is a last day's sin, 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. Confession, that's because of our sin. To confess is to acknowledge our sins to God. When we do that, He has promised to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. David outlined the great blessings of forgiveness in Psalm 32 and gave us a great example of confession in Psalm 51, 1-13. Unconfessed sin hinders our fellowship with God. And requests. That's because He loves us. God loves us. It is God's desire to meet our needs and give us the desires of our heart. We are instructed to let our requests be made known to God. However, sometimes we do not have, simply because we do not ask, or because we ask with bad motives. And spiritual needs are often much more important than physical needs. Examples of both types, physical and spiritual, are found in the Lord's Prayer. Page 24, the biblical emphasis. The Bible is a record of men and women committed to prayer. The Psalms have example after example of man pouring his heart out to God. And the rest of the Bible records over 600 prayers and 400 specific answers. Adam and Eve talked openly with God in the garden. In the days of their third son, Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And great men and women of the Old and New Testaments were committed to prayer. Moses, Hannah, Samuel, David, Daniel, and Paul. And even the last few words of the Bible include the prayer, Come, Lord Jesus, Revelation 22:20. The example of Jesus. Jesus demonstrated and taught that prayer should be a high priority. At the beginning of His ministry, He prayed at His baptism. He also taught His disciples how to pray. He prayed for Himself, prayed for His disciples, and prayed for the world. He went out alone early in the morning to talk with His Father. Sometimes He prayed all night. Jesus prayed for the food that He ate and for the food that He prepared for others. And the night before He died, He prayed so fervently in the Garden of Gethsemane that His sweat became like drops of blood. Then, as He hung on the cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And now as the great intercessor, Jesus is praying for us. And the Holy Spirit prays for us when we don't know how we should pray. So the challenge to us, with such an emphasis on prayer throughout the Bible, we should commit ourselves to prayer and to learning how to pray more effectively. It is our special privilege and opportunity to talk with the living God. Psalm 34:15 states, "The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." Psalm 32:6, "Therefore let everyone who is godly pray." James 5:13, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises." Now, the answers to the following five questions help us understand prayer. Number one, where should I pray? Where should I pray? It is a normal occurrence to think of praying in a religious building. Jesus referred to the temple as a house of prayer. However, prayers are not limited to a religious building or a public meeting. In talking with the woman at the well in John 4, Jesus made it clear that true worship was offered in spirit and truth, and that prayer was not dependent on the location of the worshipers. Jesus condemned the hypocrites for their public prayers in synagogues and on street corners because they wanted to be seen of men. And Jesus suggested that proper prayer may better be offered in the privacy of an inner room that would be away from others. It is clear that proper prayer does not depend on where it was offered. It depends on the condition of the heart of the one who prays. Question 2, should I pray on my knees? Jesus knelt to pray. Daniel knelt and prayed 3 times a day. Paul, when he left Ephesus, knelt and prayed. Jehoshaphat bowed his head to pray. Because of the sins of the people, Ezra tore his clothes and fell to his knees with outstretched hands, but he wouldn't lift his face to God. At his martyrdom, Stephen lifted his face and gazed intently into heaven as he prayed. Bowing down before God in prayer and worship, even to the point of having their faces to the ground, was commonplace in the lives of the men of the Bible. Standing while praying is found in Mark 11:25, and Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed, 2 Kings 20, verse 2. You see, the position of the body has no intrinsic value for effective prayer. It is important only as it expresses the posture of the heart. Question 3, whom should I pray to? In all aspects of prayer, we should strive to follow the teaching and examples of Scripture. The Bible makes no mention of prayer addressed to anyone but God Himself. We have no examples or teaching that leads us to pray to angels, saints, or any dead Christians. Prayer requests should be made to the Father. We should pray in the Spirit, under His leading and direction, and we are instructed to pray in the name of Jesus, that is, in His will and by His power. That biblical pattern assures us the full resources of the triune God are with us as we pray. Question 4, how should I pray? The how of prayer is as important or more important than the what of prayer. Jesus taught His disciples in the Lord's Prayer to be as a model to follow. Biblical examples include Daniel praying for the people, David praying for forgiveness, Jesus praying, John 17, and a Pharisee and a publican's prayers were compared. Biblical prayer is open and honest, pouring out of the heart to God. Now, some scriptural guidelines include praying humbly, with a thankful heart, with sincerity and not by rote, openly and directly, with great devotion, without ceasing, persistently, with great striving, with simplicity, without wrath or dissension, in unity with other believers, with great faith, and according to God's will. That was the how should I pray. Number 5 is the what should I pray for. It is a privilege to ask God for His involvement in our lives, and it should be treated very seriously. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught His disciples to pray for their daily physical and spiritual needs. And in His prayer in John 17, Jesus prayed for himself, for his disciples, and for the world in very specific requests. And Jesus promised that the faithful prayer fitting into God's will offered to the Father in Jesus' name would be answered. There are biblical suggestions that include praying for wisdom, spiritual prosperity for those who mistreat you, for healing, for each other, for the government, for our food, for those who need Christ, for more laborers to proclaim the gospel, and for open doors for the gospel. Page 26, Denials and Delays. God hears all our prayers and answers all our prayers. His answer may be yes, no, or wait. That's an answer of keep asking, but no answer yet. Sometimes God goes beyond a yes and gives us more than all that we ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. Other times his answer is no or wait. Some of the reasons for those no or wait answers follow here. Denials and delays? Well, from not asking. The principle of James 4:2 applies indirectly to this issue. You do not have because you do not ask. Simply stated, do not expect God to answer unprayed prayers. Wrong motives, James 4:3. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your pleasures. And some denials and delays come from how a man treats his wife. The Bible teaches that a husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church, to cherish her, to be understanding of her, and honor her as an equal heir of the grace of life. And as 1 Peter 3:7 states, so that your prayers, husbands, so that your prayers will not be hindered. An unforgiving spirit causes denials and delays. Being unforgiving hinders our prayers, and our forgiveness of others demonstrates the forgiveness we should expect from God. And in the Lord's Prayer, we essentially ask God to forgive us in just the same way that we forgive others. Unrighteousness causes denials and delays. We are to be clean before God so that our prayers accomplish much. Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is his delight. If one turns away from his law, even his prayer is an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. Sometimes denials and delays are for our protection, preparation, or perfection. Denials and delays can be for our good. Sometimes God protects us because we do not know what we are asking for, that it will hurt us. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he says no sometimes because he knows what is best for us. Sometimes a delay is there to give us time to prepare or to be prepared for his answer. And sometimes denials and delays come to perfect our faith. But there are final denials. Some denials, final denials, are there. For Moses, this is from Deuteronomy 3, the Lord was angry with me, meaning Moses, the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. Instead, the Lord said to me, enough, do not speak to me any more about this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and raise your eyes to the west, the north and the south, and the east, and see it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. And Paul requested that his thorn in the flesh be removed. But as Paul wrote, because of the extraordinary greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. So accept God's no's, the no's he gives us, with thanksgiving. God knows what he is doing. Page 27 is the start of two pages of the review questions. But let's skip to page 29, which has the questions with the answers. This is for your review or preview, either way, to help embed this in your long-term memory. Page 29. Number one, what are the four primary elements of prayer? Praise, thanks, confession, and requests. What's number two? What's the difference between praise and thanksgiving? Praise is about who God is. Thanks is about what God has done or is doing. Number three, define confession. Confession is my agreement with God about my specific sins being sin. Number four, why should you make your request to God? Well, here's four. Because he loves me. Because we often don't have because we don't ask. So ask. Because we have spiritual and physical needs. And because God wants to give us the desires of our hearts. Number five is a practical exercise for someone studying to do. In the next 6 days, spend at least 2.5 prayer minutes, that's not much, at least 2.5 prayer minutes each day in each of these, praise, thanksgiving, confession, and requests. And then that question asks you to circle each of those 6 days where you accomplish that. And then page 30. Number six, what biblical examples do we have of people who prayed? Adam and Eve, men in the days of Seth, Moses, Hannah, Samuel, David, Daniel, Paul, and Jesus. And where should you pray? Well, everywhere. The other part of question seven is, what new places will you be adding to your prayer life? That you have to do in practice. And then number eight, which answers to page 25's, how should I pray, were most meaningful to you? Number nine, whom should you pray to? And whom should you not pray to? Well, pray primarily to God the Father, but you can also pray to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we should never, never pray to any idol or anyone alive or dead. What body positions for prayer? This is number 10. What body positions for prayer would be new for you? Now, obviously, one is if you haven't prayed on your knees, start doing it. Number 12. Why are some prayers hindered or unanswered? Well, wrong motives, an unforgiving spirit, sin in your life, or a husband mistreating his wife. Number 13, the prayers of the upright are God's delight, and the prayers of the disobedient are an abomination to God. Why can denials to prayer, this is number 14, why can denials to prayer requests be good? Well, one reason is because denials can be God protecting us. 15. Why can delays in answers to prayer requests be good? This is the difference between denials in, on question 14 and delays in 15. And the answer to why 15, why can delays in answers to prayer requests be good? Well, it's delays can perfect us and or prepare us for God's answer. And then the application question, the last one on page 30, number 16, what changes to your prayer life have you made because of this lesson? This concludes the reading of Lesson 2 on Prayer.